Hello and welcome to the Agape House New Testament Church podcast. Today's sermon is brought to you from our sermon series, True. We hope that this message is a blessing to you. Stay tuned after this sermon to learn about how you can connect with us. Now, here is Pastor Wickham.
Once, many years ago, a serious drought gripped the nation. Crops withered in the fields, trees produced no fruit, and people began to go hungry. In a small village in the north, the pastor of the local church decided to take action and call his people to prayer. So after preaching on Sunday, he announced that the church would fast and pray the next day for God to send rain. He urged all the members to come early in the morning to join in prayer, and he urged them all to believe for a miracle to end the drought. Well, early the next morning, the pastor stood outside the church waiting for his members to come. The first member who arrived was a deacon in the church. He walked up to the church carrying a big Bible. He greeted the pastor, and the pastor welcomed the deacon. Then the pastor asked him, "Have you come to pray?" "Why, yes," the deacon said, "I'm here to pray for rain." But the pastor's response shocked the deacon. "Well, thank you for coming," the pastor said, "but I don't need you to pray today. Please, you may go home now." The deacon was shocked. "What do you mean you don't need me to pray?" he asked. "You asked all of us to come and pray, and I'm here to do just that. Why are you sending me home?" But the pastor insisted he didn't need the deacon to pray. So the deacon carried his Bible and left the church. The next person to come was a young lady who sang in the choir. She was dressed in a bright red dress with earrings and lipstick and a handbag to match. She came walking up to the church and greeted the pastor. "Have you come to pray?" the pastor asked her. "Why, yes," the young lady said. "I'm here to pray for rain." But the pastor gave her the same response he gave the deacon. "Well, thank you for coming," the pastor said, "but I don't need you to pray today. Please, you may go home now." The young woman was shocked. "What do you mean you don't need me to pray?" she asked. "You asked all of us to come and pray, and I'm here to do that. Why are you sending me home?" But the pastor insisted he didn't need the woman to pray, so she left the church. And so the same scene repeated itself over and over again. Members of the church would come up and greet the pastor, but one by one, he sent them all home. Then at last, an old woman came walking slowly up to the church. She had gray hair and wrinkles. She wasn't dressed very well, and she didn't carry a Bible. But when the pastor saw her, he broke into a big smile. "Oh, Mama," the pastor exclaimed, "it's good to see you today. I see you've come to pray with me for rain. Come in, come in. Let's begin and let us pray." So the old woman and the pastor went inside the church and started to pray. Now, you may be wondering why the pastor drove all the other members away from the prayer meeting, but he welcomed this one old woman with enthusiasm. But if you had been there, you would have seen for yourself what the pastor saw, and you would understand. For the fact is, the old woman carried something with her that no one else carried. And when the pastor saw what the old woman held in her hands, he knew she had come to pray with true faith. For you see, when the old woman came to church, she came carrying her umbrella. In the middle of a drought, she'd come to pray for rain. And because she had true faith, she brought her umbrella. Well, the pastor and the old woman prayed, and before long, the sound of drops of rain began to hit the zinc roof of the church. Soon, a downpour of rain came, and the old lady and the pastor ended their prayer meeting. And then the old woman put up her umbrella and danced all the way home with praise. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the story of the old woman and her umbrella. A lot of people in the church today claim to have faith, but not everyone who claims to have faith has true faith. We sing and we pray and we confess and prophesy about God, but we don't always act like we really believe He's going to answer us. In fact, let me ask you a few questions today. Do you have true faith? If so, where is your umbrella? What is the evidence of your faith in God? For the fact is, true faith always comes with evidence. That's the message in our sermon today. But before we learn more, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you that you've come to teach us once again from your word. Now we ask you to open the eyes of our understanding and give us divine revelation so that we can walk in true faith. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to come and bring us light and life and love and truth, that we might possess and walk in true faith. We thank you now by faith, and everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to join your faith with mine right now. Just put your hands on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to this powerful time in the presence of God. It's great to have you here with me today as I continue my sermon series titled True. We began this series last week with the message True Love, and today we're taking the next step forward as we discover true faith. Our scripture text for today is found in James chapter 2, verses 14 and 20. Our text is on the top of your sermon notes, which you can download free of charge from my website or my Facebook page or my YouTube channel. And it's also on the screen in front of you. I invite you to join in with me now, and let's read these two verses out loud together. Let's read these verses with true faith. Are you ready? Here we go. My brothers and sisters, if a person claims to have faith but does nothing, that faith is worth nothing. Faith like that cannot save anyone. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Consider with me today what God is saying to us in these two verses. Put very simply, God is telling us that there are actually two kinds of faith, true faith and worthless faith. He makes it clear to us that you may claim to have faith, but the evidence of true faith is found in your actions. For he says, faith that does nothing is worth nothing. But what exactly do we need to do to produce valuable faith? What steps can we take to act in true faith? Well, to help us learn what we can do today to possess true faith, we're going to study the story of a man who shows us by his example what true faith looks like. It's the story of the healing of blind Bartimaeus found in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Let me read this story for you, and as I do, see if you can identify the steps to true faith. Now receive God's word. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. He jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. What a powerful and amazing story of true faith. I'm inspired when I hear how this blind man got his miracle. I praise God for the love and the power of Jesus that can touch any life and make it whole. But I'm also challenged by this man and his actions, for his faith is evident as an example to all of us. And if we follow the steps that Bartimaeus took, we will have the results Bartimaeus had. So let's take the next few minutes together and discover from this story three steps to true faith. And here's the first step we all need to take to have true faith: expectation. Listen again to how our story begins in Mark 10:47. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Our story begins with a lot of excitement. Jesus is passing by with a huge crowd. His ministry has begun making a big impact. There are healings and deliverance and salvations, and the news is spreading far and wide. So when the news reaches blind Bartimaeus that Jesus is passing by, expectation stirs in his heart. See, this man had heard about Jesus. He's been told about the healings and the power and the love of God. True faith has begun to rise in his heart. And suddenly, Bartimaeus sees his chance. Even though he's blind and even though he can't see Jesus physically, he starts to cry out in expectation. He cries out for mercy. In spite of his circumstances, in spite of his limitations, Bartimaeus puts his expectation in the mercy of God. And that's our first sign of true faith. For the fact is, true faith trusts God's character, not the circumstances. If you believe the character of God, you'll cry out to him in your time of need. If you believe in the goodness of God, you'll come to him no matter what your circumstances look like. If you have true faith in God, you'll expect God to move no matter your circumstances, no matter your limitations. Your expectation will be in God. That's why David wrote in Psalm 62, 5 and 6, "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." And just like David, we all have a reason to expect from God. In fact, the more you know about God, the greater will be your expectation. Why shouldn't we expect from God? After all, he's great and he has all power. He's good and he has all love. He's wise and he knows what we need. In him is everything we need. That's why the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:3, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy," somebody say great mercy, "it's by his great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation." And that's how it is for all of us. We can expect great things from God because of who he is. His mercy is so great, it stirs our faith. And we can live in great expectation because of what God has done. He raised Jesus from the dead. He conquered sin and sickness and Satan. He's overcome every power and every enemy. There's no trouble or problem you face that God can't conquer. And he's come to live inside of us so that we can be born again. In fact, the Bible encourages us to expect from God. For 2 Corinthians 3:8 and 9 says, "Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God?" In other words, if God did great things in the past, he will do greater things today. That's why I say to you today, no matter what your circumstances look like, begin to expect greater things from God. No matter what limitations you face, begin to expect God to move. Believe in his mercy. Trust in his power. Rely upon his grace. Let the omnipotence of God be the measure of your expectation. For true faith begins with expectation. That's the powerful lesson we can learn from the true story of the Bata Shoe Company. If you've ever had the opportunity to visit southern or eastern Africa, you've probably had the opportunity to visit a Bata Shoe store. Bata Shoe stores seem to be everywhere in southern and eastern Africa. Even remote villages and out-of-the-way markets have Bata Shoes for sale. In fact, so many Bata shoes are sold in Africa every year that Bata has been nicknamed the Shoe Company of Africa. People love Bata shoes for their good quality and low prices. But it's not just the price and quality that have helped Bata dominate the African shoe market. The fact is, Bata shoes are sold all across the continent for one simple reason. The company saw opportunity when most other people didn't. And it began with expectation. When Bata Shoes first opened for business in South Africa back in the 1930s, the company hired two salesmen to promote their shoes. After saturating the market in the big cities, the shoe salesmen traveled further afield to remote regions. One salesman went to the west and the other to the east. But after just a few weeks, the salesman who traveled west returned home discouraged. In fact, this salesman was so discouraged, he submitted his resignation letter. When his boss asked him why he wanted to quit, the man explained, "No one in the regions assigned to me wears shoes. Everyone there goes barefoot. I can't sell shoes in a place where people don't even wear shoes." The man complained, so he left the company. But at the same time the salesman from the west was resigning, the salesman from the east was making a huge order for shoes. The salesman from the east called the company headquarters and asked for as many shoes as possible to be sent to him right away. "It's fantastic over here," the salesman in the east said. "No one in this region wears shoes. Everybody here is a potential customer. I can sell shoes to everyone." The salesman in the west was so focused on the obstacles, he couldn't see any opportunity. He didn't expect anything good to come to him because all he saw was the circumstances. But the salesman in the east had expectation of good. He saw opportunity instead of obstacle. And through his inspired vision of opportunity, Bata Shoes became a household name in Eastern and Southern Africa. His expectation was the seed for success. Today, Bata Shoe Company serves 1 million customers every day. And their story is a powerful reminder to all of us. No matter how difficult things may be, you can succeed if you open your eyes to see opportunity instead of obstacles. Your expectation will determine your success. That's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 9:29, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." When you hear about God, you have to expect something good to happen. And if you expect God to do something good, you'll cry out to him. If you expect God to do something good, you'll position yourself to receive. If you expect God to do something good, you won't give up. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Expectation will make you show up, pray up, stay up, and never give up. And that brings us to our second step to experience true faith: determination. Listen to how our story continues in Mark 10:48. "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus took the first step. He expected Jesus to heal him, so he cried out to the Lord. But surprisingly, when Bartimaeus stepped out in true faith, he ran into opposition. When he started to call out to Jesus, he was opposed by the people. And that's why we need the second step to true faith. You see, expectation is just the first step to true faith, but there's still something more we need to do. Expectation will be tested, and you have to press in deeper in determination. When your expectation meets frustration, you need determination. Think about what happens in this story. The people tried to shut the man up. They tried to silence him. They didn't believe in him. They didn't want him to get a miracle. And Bartimaeus had to choose. Would he listen to the voice of the crowd, or would he listen to the voice of God? And that's the same choice facing everyone today who wants to walk in true faith. You can't listen to the crowd and listen to God. But friends, I'm here to tell you today that there's only one voice that matters. It's the voice of the Almighty. There's only one opinion that makes a difference, and that's God's opinion. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what the boss may say. It doesn't matter what the president may say. God in heaven has the final authority. That's why Ephesians 1, 21 and 22 says, "Now he," that is Jesus, "is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ." So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. True faith relies on God's authority over every adversary. And when you have true faith, you won't back down at the first sign of opposition. When you have true faith, you won't be discouraged by your adversary. When you have true faith, you'll be determined to press in all the way and get to Jesus. For there will always be people who oppose you. There will always be people who try to quiet you down and hold you back. There will always be people who don't believe in God and don't believe in you. They look at you and see all the reasons why you can't make it to Jesus. They look at your past and they limit your presence. But the good news is God doesn't exclude us based on our past. Man may exclude you, but God honors faith. Faith in the blood of Jesus brings forgiveness. Faith in Jesus brings salvation. Faith will take you from obscurity to the front row of heaven. For God doesn't judge me the way you judge me. You may want to exclude me, but I believe in the character of God. He welcomes everyone who has genuine faith. For God honors faith because faith honors God. Faith believes he's good. Faith believes he's righteous. Faith believes he is merciful. And to have true faith, you have to trust in the authority of God, not the accusations of your adversaries. You have to trust in the compassion of God, not the criticism of your enemies. That's how it is for everyone who wants to possess true faith. You have to separate yourself from the crowd and get closer to Jesus. You have to overcome the adversity and keep focused on Jesus. You have to be determined. A lot of people in church today never get their miracle because they let the crowd keep them back. A lot of people miss their miracle because they let the crowd keep them from Jesus. The only Jesus they know is the one they see from a distance. The only Jesus they hear is from a distance. But I don't want to just see Jesus from afar. I don't want the crowd to come between me and my Savior. I want to see him face to face. I don't want to strain to hear his voice. I want him to speak into my ear. I don't want to just see him touch others. I want to feel him touch me. And God is calling you today to something deeper. God is calling you to something more. He's got his eye on you, and he wants you near to him. So don't let the barriers keep you back. Don't let the crowd keep you from breaking through. Get up, get determined, and get your miracle. For the fact is, all true faith will be tested. Having Jesus in your boat during the storm does not mean the storm won't rock your boat. It simply means the storm can't sink you. See, when you have faith, you can be sure your faith will be tested. You will weather storms. You will be tempted. You will face opposition. Sometimes God himself will allow a barrier to appear in your path just to see if you're determined. That's what Jesus meant when he called certain men in Luke 9. Listen to his words in verses 59 to 62. He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." And hear what God is saying to you today. You have to pass the test. And you will pass the test when you maintain your faith in the face of opposition. That's why Ephesians 6:13 tells us, "Stand your ground, and after you have done everything, stand." So, have you done everything? Have you fasted? Have you prayed? Have you given? Have you forgiven? Have you obeyed? Remove the limitations and barriers in your life and stay determined. For bold faith requires bold action. Face the Red Sea and see it part. Aim your stone at Goliath and see him fall. Get out of the boat and walk on water. Sadly, a lot of people never grow their faith beyond expectation. They look to God for a miracle. They believe he can do it. They anticipate a breakthrough, but they never go beyond that. They simply wait. They hope, but they don't persevere in faith. It's good to dream about a solution, but unless you're willing to pay the price to execute the plan, your dream will never come to pass. You have to trust in God and be determined. A few years ago, a jobless man applied for the position of office boy at a very big international company. The employer interviewed him, then gave him a test: clean the floor. The man cleaned it so well, the employer offered him a job. You're hired, the employer said. Give me your email address and I'll send you the application to fill as well as when you will start. But the man replied, I don't have a computer, neither do I have an email address. I'm sorry, said the employer. If you don't have an email, that means you do not exist. And if you don't exist, then you cannot have the job. Well, the poor man didn't know what to do. He had only 10 Ghana cedis, less than $2 in his pocket. He prayed and said, God, help me. Then God answered him and told him to go to the market and use all the money in his pocket to buy a crate of tomatoes. Then go and sell the tomatoes door to door. The man said, but God, this is all the cash I have. If I use all this money to go and buy tomatoes, what happens if I don't sell them? If I spend all my money on tomatoes, how will I survive? Nevertheless, at God's command, he went and did what God said. He bought a basket of tomatoes, he put it on his head, and went through the street shouting, tomatoes! In less than 2 hours, he succeeded at selling all the tomatoes, and he doubled his capital. He repeated the operation a few times and returned home that night with 4 times the money. The man realized that he could survive by this way and started to go every day earlier and return later. Thus, his money doubled or tripled every day. Shortly later, he bought a cart and then a truck, and then he had his own fleet of delivery vehicles. 5 years later, the man's company was one of the biggest food retailers in the city. He started to plan his family's future and decided to buy some insurance. So he called an insurance broker and chose a protection plan. When the conversation was concluded, the broker asked him for his email. The man replied, I don't have an email. The broker was surprised. You don't have an email, and yet you have succeeded to build this business empire? Do you imagine what you could have done if you had an email? The man paused for a moment and replied, yes, if I'd had an email, I would have been an office boy. And God says to you today, I can do more with what you don't have than you can do on your own with what you do have. For the fact is, your lack is God's opportunity. Your lack is only an obstacle if you lack faith. But when you possess true faith, your lack can latch onto God and become opportunity. For God can pick you up from nowhere and get you anywhere when you have true faith. There may be a barrier in your path, but God has an open door for you. God closes doors to open horizons. And if you'll stay in faith and stay determined, God will never let you down. See, faith isn't just dreaming about a breakthrough. It's acting on God's word to produce a breakthrough. You've got to persevere till you get what you came for. You may not have seen your baby yet, but hold on in faith, because your baby is coming. You may not have seen your healing yet, but hold on in faith, because your healing is coming. Keep looking, keep seeking, keep going to God in prayer, keep crying out, keep giving, keep sowing, keep believing. You need to add determination to your faith to get what your faith is seeking. If you're easily turned aside, you'll miss God. But determination removes limitations, breaks through barriers, and gets to Jesus. For when faith meets fervency, miracles occur. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not those who casually inquire. For Hebrews 11:6 says, he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And true faith continues to act even when the outcome seems doubtful. Things look difficult for blind Bartimaeus. He couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't get to Jesus on his own. And the people who could have helped carry him to Christ were the very people telling him to shut up. But Bartimaeus was determined to press through. He wouldn't keep quiet. He wouldn't stop praying. He wouldn't give up. And when God saw his determination, God came through with his miracle. And that brings us to our third step to true faith, participation. Listen to how our story ends in Mark 10, 50 to 52. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. He jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Suddenly, the miracle power of God broke through. Jesus rewarded him. His miracle power was flowing in response to the man's faith and the actions of his faith. He said, "Your faith has healed you." So here's the truth you need to put on your keychain and carry along with you. True faith believes God's promise, not the problem. But notice something here, even in the presence of the miracle working power of God, Bartimaeus had to act. He had to participate with Jesus and do what he was told. When Jesus called him, Bartimaeus had to get up and throw aside everything that was hindering and get to Jesus. When Jesus asked him what he wanted, Bartimaeus had to persist in his petition and ask boldly for his miracle. And that's the final stage of faith's action. You have to obey his word and participate in his power. You have to do what Jesus says. For the fact is, true faith and obedience always go hand in hand. That's why James 1:22 teaches us, don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Many years ago, I remember one Christmas, I bought a bicycle for one of my children. It came unassembled in a box, and it required me to put the bicycle together. I had to put on the handlebars and attach the light and a few other things. Fortunately, the bicycle came with a set of printed instructions. But unfortunately, I wasn't interested in following the instructions. I glanced at them, I took a look at the picture, but I wasn't interested in reading through the directions. I thought I could do it myself. I mean, after all, how hard can it be to assemble a bicycle? So I started out. There was only one problem. No matter how I tried, I couldn't do it. I tried and tried. I put everything together, but it just didn't work. It was only when I went back to the instructions and read them well that I knew what to do. So it is with us in faith. Many people give casual attention to the Bible. We read it once in a while, we listen to it at church, but we don't really pay attention. We think we know how to act in faith. We think we can make it on our own. But when we do, we always fall short. For to have true faith, you have to listen to God's word and do it. You have to hear his voice and obey it. If you have faith, it will be evident in your actions. And this is what God requires from all of us. That's why Romans 16:26 says, "As God commands, this message is being preached everywhere so that people all around the world will have faith in Christ and obey him." And the message God has for the world today is that we should have faith in Christ and obey him. We should believe and do. We should trust him and act. We should rely on God but not relax. We should let true faith be seen in what we do. For true faith is more than wishful thinking, more than hope, more than a dream. True faith isn't just positive thinking and positive confession. True faith requires action even when you can't see the result. Blind Bartimaeus had to get up and go to Jesus before he was healed. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. True faith acts before the outcome is seen. Before the mountains move, your faith has to move. Before God acts, your faith has to act. If you want to cross the Red Sea on dry land, you have to get up out of Egypt and move to the shoreline. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. If you want to get a touch from Jesus, you have to position yourself where Jesus can touch you. You can't wait for the manifestation before you give God your action. You can't enjoy a harvest till you've sown a seed. Walking by faith starts with a step from us, not a push from God. So take the first step. There may be 1,000 steps between you and your miracle, but as you step in faith, God moves in power. What has God called you to do that you're not doing? For when you've done all you can trust God to do all he can. God will bless you when you act in faith. I speak to your life today and say to you, those things that were impossible to you before will open easily before you when you possess true faith. The Red Sea will part. The rough way will be made smooth. The mountain will move and the door will open. For Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. That's the power of true faith. It starts with expectation. It continues with determination. And it arrives at its destination with participation. May God move in your heart today and help you develop true faith. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today for teaching us from your word. Your character and compassion are so great. Move in our hearts today with expectation. Lord, your grace and your power and your promises are so many. Help us today to focus on your promise, not our problem. And Lord, your authority is above all things. You are greater than every adversary. So help us today, Lord, to rest in your great authority as we move forward to participate with you in faith. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Breaking
through, I see. Thank you for joining us for this podcast. We are open to safely worship in person here at Agape Land, East Lagon, and you are always welcome to join us. If you would like to support our ministry, you can go to our website, agapehouseghana.org, and click Give Online. God bless you. I'm saying